Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for February 11th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I've got a great guest with me here today. Pooya, how you doing, Pooya?
I'm good, Taryn. You never fail to humble me. I'm excited to be here. Let's talk some Celebrity Big Brother. How about
yes,
that?
Yes, we are here to talk about everything that's happening on the feeds for Big Brother, colon, Celebrity Edition. That's what I'm calling it. that's what it says on like I think that's the official title, colon, Celebrity Edition. We're gonna tell you everything that's been happening on the feeds since yesterday, and we'll just jump right into it. In the morning, Omarosa still in the hospital, still MIA. We don't know where Omarosa is. Meta was talking about like, you know, what am I doing in this game? You know what? I want to get Shannon and James out. And James was sitting right next to him as he said that. So James was like, really? So, well, I mean, we can probably help you get out this week if Omarosa doesn't come back. And Meta was like, maybe. Or maybe I'll just take Shannon and James out. I don't know. We'll see.
The man is fearless. I don't, and he's not he's calculated, but definitely not calculated. He has been doing that pretty much the whole day. James being one of the names, Shannon being the other name. At one point, we'll get to it. He has full on spoken about this openly in front of the entire house in the kitchen, to the point where people are speculating now that he might be America's player. Yeah. This is how amazing this season is. Even if you're taking steps backwards or sideways or just diagonal, horizontal, you're making moves. And Meta World Peace is the antithesis of taking steps forward, but he's taking steps anyways, and it's fascinating to watch.
He is the ultimate wild card because he truly doesn't care about the game and he just wants to go home. But he's starting to realize that nobody's really going to let him go home. So he's just like, you know what, then screw it. I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Yeah. And I loved yesterday where he was like, I'm not really playing. If I was playing, I'd be trying to cause a ruckus. And I don't think he realizes that if it was to cause a ruckus, that would probably be his ticket to get out of there faster. So it's fun to watch him unravel, and we'll see how he goes on as the days go along.
Yes, this day was largely a day of this alliance of seven that had come together for this flip, sort of breaking into more pieces. Ross, Brandy, Ariadna, and Marissa talked about, you know what? We like this four. Why don't we have a final four here? And Ross is like, you know, I like this four a lot better than any other potential fours that I definitely don't have, meaning the one that he had made with Shannon and James just the day or so prior. So it looks like for Ross, at the very least, he wants to move ahead with this final four of himself, Marissa, Ariadna, and Brandy.
Yeah, and I think Ross has rightly calculated that Shannon is someone he will, if he goes to the end with, and whatever happens in the final four, final three, he ends up with her in the final two, that's his hardest shot to win. I think he's noticed that very quickly. I think this is like mainly Shannon's own fault because she made so many moves in the first week of this game to the point where like Ross has figured it out, and Ross knows that going with Ari and Brandy is his better shot. And it seems like the four of them do have a good line of communication. Every person is contributing somewhat as far as conversation goes, and they've just gelled well together. So this is definitely Ross's primo choice moving forward for both himself and for the right of his game, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that Ross currently sees it as, you know, Brandy and Ariadna, they are more of like the floater type. He, you know, certainly when you compare them to James and Shannon, who are much better competitors, or at least bigger competitors, you know, he sees like, oh, well, they're easier to beat. They're more along the lines of, you know, my competitive level when it comes to competitions. And I think I can beat them when it comes to a jury vote. So obviously it would be better to have them. And then, you know, there's still 10 people in the house, but a four-person alliance with 10 people, not bad, especially when you consider that, you know, Shannon and James are out on their own thing and a lot of people are targeting them. Mark is just kind of hanging around, being dragged along by Ross. And then Omarosa and Keisha are out on their own limb. And then, you know, Meta's just, he's got his head in the cloud. So it's not a bad plan.
No, it's not a bad plan at all, especially when you consider the fact that probably Ari and Brandy specifically are more moldable by Ross. We've watched, or he's lived it pretty much with James and Shannon, both to their own way, going out of their way to do what they want. Shannon by trying to flip, James by just being outspoken and very verbal during the early goings of the game. I do think that the competition aspect does play into it a lot because these are two of the more physical players. We've watched them both like be the final two at that HOH. Seemingly, from what I've been reading and understanding, it seems like James was the last person Ross had to beat for this HOH. So you don't want someone like that in the end game, especially if you're Ross, who, while you believe in your capabilities and understandings of the game, you know that these competitions, if they get really physical, you need to be physical. And James and Shannon are the specimen to beat at that point.
Yes. So they're having that talk. Omarosa is still not in the house at this point. So they're wondering, like, is Omarosa coming back? Meta was having a conversation with Keisha, and afterward he was talking to the cameras about something that we had been talking about, something that Omarosa had in particular had brought up, this idea of the optics and of, you know, is this a race thing that that Omarosa, Keisha, and Meta had been left out on that vote. And Meta, almost seemingly out of nowhere, like I think he was having a conversation that was longer with Keisha that we didn't see, talks to the cameras and is like, CBS, you guys, you'd better not be making up some crazy storylines about race cards and racist stuff. Like, you better not be effing doing that.
I wondered if maybe he was asked a question or two about the situation of the fallout in the DR, and maybe that's what made him think about it, marinate on it a little bit. He definitely does not want to see that stuff go down. He does not want to see some crazy storylines for the sake of storylines. And he just called them out, just face first to the camera, and said, don't be making that crazy BS around here, which I think is interesting because it's just, Meta is an enigma to me. I mean, he was on the right side of the vote, but he feels like he was on the wrong side. He feels blindsided, and he just doesn't want that to be the narrative at all in any way, shape, or form. But he also understands that because it's TV, he can see it happening. So he wanted to get in the front of that before anything went down.
Yeah, well, I think he says, like, I know there are some people in here that are trying to make that the narrative, but let's make no mistake, that shouldn't be the narrative, or at least Meta doesn't think it should be the narrative. So another piece of that, and honestly, I think that might be the last we hear of this because, to sort of put a cap on this part of the update, by the time Omarosa comes back, she is no longer trying to push that narrative. She is like, things are all right. I had time in the hospital to think things over, and I was overreacting. Who knows how genuine she is when she says this, but it does seem as though this has been clamped shut. If anything, I was really sure that this was going to have to be in the episode as a part of a storyline because Omarosa was pushing it so much and it was such a big source of controversy. But it does seem like it's been backed off of, and we may not actually see this.
Yeah, no, it's been really fascinating, Omarosa's behavior post-hospital visit. No Scooter, for those of you expecting that. So sorry about that, guys. Sorry, we're no Scooter today. However, you're right. I think that there's been so much going on in the house, so much content, that we might not even see it in the Fallout episode tonight. We might see like a little snippet of it just because of that integral Shannon and Omarosa conversation right after the feeds came back on. However, besides that, it's pretty much been put to bed since Meta World Peace spoke about it yesterday morning. So I really don't expect us to see it come in. I think there's so much more that happened that will come up, like the Omarosa Brandy fight that we saw, and then all this other stuff, Nom talk. So there's been a lot of meat and potatoes, and this might be something that gets overlooked or skipped over entirely because it just did not come into fruition today, yesterday at all.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing is that alliance of 7 versus 3 is basically already kaput at this point. So
yeah.
it lasted about like 24 hours. So it's probably in the rearview mirror, which is hopefully a good thing. But you never know. So We had Ross talking to Mark. Now, Ross was really the driver of everything yesterday. He was all over the place. I don't think there's a single conversation in here that I'm going to update you on that doesn't involve Ross at this point. He talks to Mark. And he has a good hold on Mark. He's talking to Mark about, you know, should we be worried about Shannon and James? I feel like maybe we should be a little bit worried about them. And Mark, who at this point should be aligned with Shannon and James because he's gotten like no one else for like solidly. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'll keep an eye on him. I'll see what I can find out for you. I feel like Mark has potential, but he hasn't been able to make any solid connections. And right now it seems like he is buying the Ross. I'll do what Ross says because Ross is the one talking to me, but Ross is really connected to absolutely everyone in the house right now. And, he is not the avenue that you want to go down, Mark.
No, and it's very funny. The minute you said, I think Mark has potential, immediately I rewind to BB19 and we're like, Kevin has potential. But Kevin currently just has these conversations and he needs to latch onto them. It's funny because I think Mark called himself out in the preseason as the oldest person, old person. And I think he's kind of falling into that mold a little bit where he is largely discounted, but he is part of these conversations. And he willingly told Ross, yeah, not only will I keep an eye on the two of them, I will fish for information because I believe James will give me information if there is information to be given. So Ross, pretty much as I tweeted this out last night, where Ross is like the Varys of this season. He has ears and eyes everywhere. He has made every conversation necessary and unnecessary for that matter, but we'll get to that later. But he was a part of everything that went down yesterday. I mean, he is HOA, so he needs to figure out what he's doing with his nominations. But I think some of us might argue that he did too much, and we will definitely dive in momentarily.
Yes, he's doing it all for the good of the realm, the good of the brother.
For the 17th.
So he has that conversation with Mark. He also has a conversation with Shannon about, like, you know, I think we made the right move. I think this was a good thing. And something that was revealed in the Shannon Omarosa fight that I didn't think was that important because who really cares? But Omarosa revealed that Shannon and herself had a deal from day one. Like, oh, we had a deal. You turned your back on it. Shannon had been explaining, like, no, it was just like a day one thing. Like, I was afraid to say anything about it because, you know, but it's Omarosa. And, you know, so Shannon is apologizing for that. She's saying, you know, I'm sorry again for that. I didn't tell you about the Omarosa thing. This is probably one of those things where it's like, the less you talk about it, the better. Just because, like, the more you remind somebody that you had been lying to them or that you hadn't told them something, the more likely they're going to think about it and make it a part of their decision making. Ross is saying, don't worry about it. It's totally fine. Totally, totally fine. Don't even worry about it. We're going to find out later. He's worrying about it.
Yeah, it's like in a relationship when someone's like asking their girlfriend, are you mad? She's like, no, do I have a reason to be mad? And they're like, no, we're good. And then like 5 minutes goes by and they're like, so that thing. And then they really start pulling out that thread. It's like, okay, so you think I should be mad about that? Like, just stop talking. Like, you were fine. She said she's not mad. Like, move on. And Shannon definitely could not handle the fact that she knew that she had omitted this from Ross and it had come out there now. And the more she spoke about it, the more Ross marinated and the more Ross realized that she looked at me point blank day one and lied to my face. So now it's a thing. Now it's a thing that Ross doesn't see as reparable, or even if he does see it as that, he doesn't trust her moving forward, which is not good for Shannon.
Yeah.
Quite frankly,
it's the sort of thing where it's like, if you are in the position where you're like, I just want to make sure that you understand that I'm sorry about what happened. Like, you're accepting my apology, right? Like, it's just, that's never a good place to be, because clearly, because you're imagining that they're not accepting your apology, they probably aren't. Which means that an apology isn't going to help you anymore. Like, you need to reframe that entire conversation, right? Like, Shannon needs to approach it from a different perspective. I don't know what the perspective is, but just saying, like, just to reiterate the other apology that I think hasn't worked. I am sorry. You need to get, because there's walls up there that Ross is not letting her, he's not letting her even know that he's upset. So she needs to get to the point where Ross is even willing to admit that he's upset with her. And to do that, she needs to approach it from a different, avenue. And she wasn't doing that.
No. And I mean, there's, you know, three ways to go about it. Either you're unapologetic and you come off as someone who just is stone cold, or you overcorrect and you're just on your knees begging forgiveness when they haven't even spoken about it. Or you kind of ride the middle where you're like, this is Omarosa. This is someone you said you didn't want to see. I just pee in the wind. She talked to me. I nodded and said, yes, ma'am. Yes, please. I'll take it. I'll take it. Just to shut the conversation down. Like, there are many ways she could have approached this, I think. And the way she took it is not good, especially it doesn't come off great when that person just came into power and now you're confessing. Because now it seems like you're trying to save your hide. And it's like, why are you trying to save your hide? I thought we were good, Shannon. Why are you doing that? So, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And like, yeah. Shannon has just been, since the fallout, since that eviction night fallout, she's been shaken. She was stirred up. And I think she's still recovering from that in bits and pieces.
Yeah. And I think the important part here is that not only did she not like admit it before Ross came into power, but she didn't admit it until Omarosa revealed it. Right. So like the time to admit this was when you were flipping on Omarosa. But I think in Shannon's mind, again, going back to her motivations, she thought, I'm going to take out Keisha and I'm going to still be able to work with Omarosa. So she didn't want to reveal that information. So when Omarosa, you know, who I think predictably was angry about the flip and blamed Shannon, revealed that information to everyone, it put Shannon in a really bad spot. And I think that's where Shannon remains to this day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shannon was unable to mend. I think Shannon gave herself too much credit. I think after being able to flip that many votes to get her way, she thought, if I can do this, I can do anything. I can definitely talk with Omarosa. I can patch things up and it'll be fine. What she didn't expect was Omarosa to just be unwavering in her feeling of like deceit and wanting to get revenge in any way, shape, or form she could. And that was one of the things she threw out there that just caught on and people have run with it now.
It's another interesting thing, because I feel like this is another thing that happens in real life relationships sometimes, where it's like you are friends with somebody, or you are in a relationship with somebody, but they have a better relationship with somebody else. And you're like jealous of that relationship. And you feel like, if I could just remove that person, then my relationship with this person would be great. But that's not how it works. You can't just remove another person. And the fact that that other person is going to another person in the first place means your relationship with them isn't that great. You know, Shannon thinking, I can remove Keisha from this situation and still be able to have my relation, and that will make my relationship better with Keisha, like, or with Omarosa. It's just that's not gonna work. It's not how relationships work. You think it's how it works, and in Big Brother, you actually have like a way to remove the other person, whereas in real life, you hopefully don't. But it still is a thing where it's like, if you are seen as responsible for that, they're just going to be mad at you. And of course, they're not going to have a relationship with you afterward. So it's, if you ever feel that way in Big Brother, I feel like you need to be wary about your own feelings and think, okay, I've already lost this person. If they're already going to somebody else, then I've already lost them. I need to give that up and find somebody else.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like, you know, friendship is documented that way. It's not like, you know, Omarosa has 100 units of friendship yeah. stock and Keisha has 75 of them. If I get rid of Keisha, I'm not going to inherit 75 stock.
Right.
Like, that's going to go spread elsewhere. She's going to try and, like, now that she's lost a big stock, this is a weird analogy, she's going to start like dividing her assets to different places. She's going to subsidize other things. It's not going to directly all go into the one other piece of stock you have left. So that was a bad calculation on her part. And I mean, Omarosa is someone, if Shannon, and I know Shannon is keen, Shannon's been watching and like she's a big fan of the show, but I think this is just one of those moments where Shannon overplayed and just got too paranoid, but then also got too overconfident when things started going her way, of thinking she can control the emotions of this person, she can keep them at bay, and she can slowly reel them back in. And that just didn't happen. The minute the rug gets swept under you 7-1, you're going to try and get as many people on your side as possible, because if you're up next, you need like 4 people, you need 5 people. So one person will not do you good. One person is not enough. So Shannon should have thought of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Eric and BB-8, like trying to slyly take Nick out of the game without the Donatos like getting mad at him. He almost got away with it too.
So close.
Only Eric could almost get away with that kind of thing. Ariadna and Brad and Brandy are now talking again with Ross, and they're starting to talk about Shannon. They're starting to say, "Look, Shannon is the biggest threat in this game. Maybe we should, I mean, especially if Omarosa doesn't come back, why don't we just put Shannon up on the block next to Keisha? That seems like a great idea to us. Like, why wouldn't we do that?"
Yeah, and Ari was like the first person to bring this up into the ether of the house. And it's just for a second, Ari and Brandy are pretty much at this point, I would say, a full-fledged duo. And I think they can go the distance here, and it's absolutely insane. Watching them communicate with each other, it's just fascinating. And I was telling you earlier, right before we went on, like, it's amazing. I'm looking at Brandy, someone who 2 weeks ago had no idea what was going on in this game, late addition to the game, didn't know what a backdoor was. What was she doing yesterday? Talking about the backdoor option, talking about that being available, talking about putting up Shannon, talking about getting rid of Shannon. So the two of them went up to Ross and kind of planted this seed of, what about Shannon? I think Shannon is a bigger threat to us. I think Shannon is someone we want to maybe consider. And then Ross says, well, I don't want that right now. Ross, and like the thing with Ross is, so he's done a couple of things yesterday. He's played a lot, as we've mentioned. He kind of ran with the Shannon thing a little bit, kind of floated the idea to see who would think of it, who would catch it. But what Ross has been doing perfectly as well, he's been saying repeatedly, as a player of this game, as a fan of this game, sorry, not as a player, as a fan of this game, I think the back door is gross. I wouldn't want to do someone dirty like that. That is not me. That is not okay. And I think that's his cop-out in case he doesn't want to pull the trigger on this. But that seed has been planted effectively because throughout the day, that has been coming back into conversation. And it's funny that the first person to have brought it up was Ariadna.
But yeah, well, the thing about Ariadna and Brandy is that they are by far, I think, the tightest pair in the game. Ross Absolutely. And Marissa are pretty tight as well. But Ariadna and Brandy, they are inseparable. And that is extremely dangerous. Despite like, it doesn't matter how, like, how good they are at competitions, or because they still might be great at competitions. You don't know. There's been what, 3 competitions and they haven't won one yet. Like, whoa, that doesn't mean anything. They could be great at competitions. They're extremely tight. And clearly they're game savvy. They're saying, it's very, very good for them. If Ross takes a shot at Shannon, like, that is amazing for them. And if they actually pull it off, I think that's a potentially game winning move. And I really don't feel like it's in Ross's best interests at all. Ross has people that are coming for him, and he's got a ton of people, Meta, Brandy, Ariadna, Omarosa, all of them are going after Shannon and James. There's no reason you should be doing that work for them, especially when Shannon and James are currently on your side, believing they have a Final Four deal with you. So I have no idea why Ross is even considering this, but I think he feels a little bit pressured because Ariadna and Brandy are just like, why wouldn't you do this? She's the biggest threat in the game.
Yeah, and it's funny because shortly after that initial conversation, Marissa and Ross were talking, and Marissa mentions, I don't think James or Shannon are going to come after you. I don't think you need to do this. Like, they're going to be in front of you. And it is true. They are both targets in front of him. Shannon is a big target in front of him. Shannon has no intention of going after Ross, especially after the move they've made. And Shannon has been shaken by Omarosa. Shannon is trying to find refuge with her new set of people. And I think Shannon is really invested in this alliance of 4 that she had made previously, but she thinks currently still with James, Ross, and Marissa. So Shannon is harmless to Ross's game, at least at the very moment. Maybe in the end game, that's a whole other shebang. But we still have 10 people here. I don't think you should be going after Shannon. But the problem is now with the pressure coming in with Ari and Brandy, and the fact that he has taken this and ran around the house with it a little bit and brought it up, this kind of big move-itis that happened with him, where like getting Omarosa out was just not enough at this point. Now we need to think of like a contingency plan of getting rid of someone else if Omarosa wins veto, or one of us wins veto and like uses it. So it's going to be a situation. I think he's kind of played himself into a corner somewhat, in my opinion, where if the veto is used, he cannot put anybody else up besides Shannon, lest he piss off his alliance. because that's where we're at now, especially with Ari. She wants it. Brandy wants it. Marissa, by the end of the night, we'll probably get to these conversations. Marissa's also warmed up to that idea and is willing to do that. And it's amazing to see. And in the alliance that he currently is in with Ari, Brandy, and Marissa, both Brandy and Marissa have spoken about how they're not going to win. Like, they will gladly take... I guess yesterday we officially found out that second place will be getting 50K. So that's come out. But Brandy was saying she's happy with 50K. She will vote for Ari if Ari and Ross are at the end, because she doesn't want Ari to be a runner-up again. Then by proxy, Marissa's been saying, well, I'm not going to win. Might as well have fun with it. Might as well go crazy with this. So these kind of people, while they're going to be loyal to him, while he has good alliances with him, he should also discount a lot of the things they say or not pay much attention, because they're talking about playing not as a winner, but as like the passenger trying to be on a fun ride. So if you're trying to get your car there unscathed and undamaged, don't take the dirt road that these guys are offering. I mean, sure, it's fun. You'll blast music. You'll have fun. But getting there is going to be a little harder. So I think Ross needs to really consider this. But I think at this point, the cat's out of the bag, and Shannon's probably going to go up if the veto's used by any of them.
Yeah, Ross spent, again, a lot of time talking to a lot of people all day long. And I think this is sort of an example of what he's doing, where he talks to Ari and Brandy about this idea of potentially backdooring Shannon. And he says, you know what, guys, let's not talk to Marissa about this quite yet. Like, let's keep this between us for now. He immediately runs to Marissa and says, we've got this plan. Oh, we're going to potentially backdoor Shannon if somebody wins the veto. What do you think about it? And don't tell Ari and Brandy that I told you, because I told them I wouldn't tell you. And he, that's sort of his style across the board here. He is basically, he has an individual relationship with every single person in the house. And he's gotten to a point where he is just completely at the center of everything. He is completely in power. He has all of, like, he's the HOH. And I think that's why he feels like he feels comfortable with the idea of backdooring Shannon to some extent, because he feels like, well, I have no enemies at this point. Because even once Omarosa comes back, he has a conversation with Keisha as well at some point where he apologizes for the flip and explains his reasoning. She seems receptive to it. He has a conversation with Omarosa where she talks about how chill she is and she's on medication and like, oh, everything's great. So he really feels like, I can take a shot at whoever I want. And if that's the case, Shannon is the biggest threat in the game. But you have to realize that, yes, this is a shortened season, but there's still a lot of eliminations. And just because you're in control of the entire house for this particular elimination doesn't mean that that's going to stay that way. I think maybe his idea, because he talked about it with Marissa, like this idea of backdoor Shannon, they were like, yeah, but this is a shortened season. Why don't we just go for it? But the thing is, like, Big Brother is not about like just holding power and like winning and taking people out over and over. It's about Ari and Brandy convincing people to do their bidding for them without having to win any competitions, therefore not being threats. And especially in this version of the game where people can go home and listen to podcasts or, you know, listen to their fans and be like, wow, Ari and Brandy were actually doing good work. They can get a lot more respect than they may have even had in a different version of the game. So despite the fact that Ross has completely taken over, he's at the center of everything, completely in control, basically the Derek of the house right now. I still feel like Ari and Brandy are in a better spot because, again, if Ross takes the shot at Shannon, I think that's a huge blow to his own game. And I don't think he realizes it.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely correct, Aaron, because we've watched Shannon become the big threat. Shannon goes, you're in everyone's eyes because you were at the focal point of all these things. Ari and Brandy, who like silently told you what to do and planted that seed, and now you're going to execute the plan, they're going to be fine. They're going to keep walking forward. And the fact that we're going to probably be getting evictions every 3 or so days, like, that's not good for you, especially because like with a longer season, right? So you get rid of someone big right off the bat in the beginning. Then you can lay low for a couple weeks and reset and like recalculate and be fine. You do not have anywhere to hide in this kind of season with 3 weeks on the line. Like, you are going to get rid of someone and people will remember that. They're going to go home. They're going to watch everything. Shannon especially is going to watch everything. Like, maybe not Chuck Liddell. I mean, he didn't sound convincing with Julie. So But Shannon Elizabeth is someone who's going to take footage in. She's friends with Evil Dick. They're probably going to talk. Evil Dick is going to show her all the things he's been seeing. Like, there's just so many ways that can go wrong for Ross. And I don't think he's fully realized it yet. And I think this whole mentality of it's an expedited season from the beginning of the season has gotten them to this point where they think, if I have an opportunity, I just got to take it because it might just come once and I might not be able to do it again. But you might not, you don't necessarily have to do these things. You can easily calm down. And I mean, specifically with Ross's social game, while I do agree that he's done an amazing job accumulating all these relationships with every single person in the house, he's kind of weaving a very thin web with them. Like, he's talking to Omarosa. They have this big heart to heart. Omarosa's like talking to him about her health, about how she got perspective and how she feels. She got to talk. Apparently she got to talk to her husband a little bit, got that "Are you okay?" phone call. So that was nice. It just reminded her that it's a game. So she's come back super mellowed out. She's calm and she's kind of opening up to him, being like vulnerable to him. Ross takes this all in. And then Ross walks out the room and mocks her to like four house guests. So that's all fine and good because they're in your alliance, sure. But all it takes is one person to squeal and the entire tower of cards you've made will fall on your face. So you need to be careful, especially when there's still nine other people to, or eight other people to be evicted. You could easily get caught after the second eviction. So it's scary. It's a scary move to make. It shouldn't be done, especially because, again, goes back to Shannon will not take you out. Shannon is a target ahead of you. Shannon is on more people's hit list than you are. Why are you doing that job? Take someone else out from the middle and let Shannon stay in and be your meat shield. Let James stay in and be your meat shield.
Yeah, I mean, I talked a little bit about how Ross was kind of playing the Andy Heron game. I mean, if he is the Varys, then he is the Andy Heron. And right. I feel like, you know, Andy Heron in this spot took out the most average, like nobody cares player possible in order to keep everyone going at each other. And that's what Ross should be doing as an Andy Heron player. But I think what happened was Ross, you know, he won HOH and then found himself all of a sudden, everybody trusts him. And instead of like taking the Andy Heron route, which is like, okay, everybody trusts me. Perfect. I'm going to like lay low under this. He was like, oh, everybody trust me that I can rise above and I can be the Derek. And I feel like being the Derek is not what you want to be. Unless you are Derek, I guess. But like, I feel like Ross's strengths here are to stay under the radar and not lead from the front, because I don't see that working in this house. I don't see a Derek strategy working with these people, especially with a shortened season. Like, they're not just going to start living in the house and get used to this idea that they shouldn't fight back. Because this is a shortened season, I think you need to play a little more conservatively, and you can't try to control everyone, because there's no way people like Brandy or James or whoever, or even Omarosa, like there's no way they're just going to sit back and let you just stomp your way to the end of the game in complete control of everything. It's just not going to happen.
No. And, you know, there are arguments to be made, like what's going on in his head probably. So if he takes out Shannon, he probably thinks what Shannon did last eviction, where I can take Omarosa in at that point. Omarosa, well, I didn't get rid of her. She will, like, that'll be good. I can work on that relationship. James and Shannon were tight. Now, James is a free agent, kind of. I can kind of bring him in. He's good with Mark, so I know Mark can vouch for me. But I don't think you're exactly right. That's not how this season is going to go in particular. This season is, I have the sword now. I get to swing. Who am I going to swing at? And someone like James, I could see going after him. Omarosa wins, I think she's still going to go after him. If Keisha wins, I think that's still a possibility. Like, he is not out in the clear by doing something like this. He is out in the open at that point as a target. So instead of putting on the cape, maybe he should have put the face mask and been Robin instead of Batman, because this is going to hurt him, I believe. And I think, like, you look at Ross, you don't really necessarily, you would probably, like, if you're just a, you know, casual, and a lot of these people started off as casuals in the house, did not expect Ross to win an HOH, probably. Did not look at him and think, this guy's going to win comps. Now you've won one, so you're, like, slowly building a target for yourself when you shouldn't. Like, I do agree with your comparison of him and Andy and, like, the Varys game, for sure. But it needed to be less above the radar and more under the radar. And I think yesterday he kind of started under the radar, and by the end of the night he was on top. So it'll be interesting to see how this day goes, because we know that the veto is tomorrow. They think it's today. So just watching how they talk, because they're going to bring this up more and more today if they expect it to be at some point today. So it'll be interesting to see how the marination continues, where they end up being, because this has been kind of shifting day to day. But in order for it to get neutralized, he'd have to do a lot of damage control today. And I don't see him doing that. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it's telling that, like, he's considering this plan, but I don't think I've heard him say, like, what happens after? What happens after Shannon leaves and after you backdoor her? Like, who wins power and what do they do? Because, you know, even Meta, who he had another conversation with Meta, and Meta was like, you know what, maybe I'll stay in this house and help you out, because I you're the only person I have a deal with, Ross, and I just want to take out Shannon and James. Like, you know, even assuming somebody like Meta wins HOH, like, who does he put up? Like, he's not putting up Keisha and Omarosa. I think, you know, he still has a good relationship, a good enough relationship with them. He'll certainly put up James, maybe Mark next to James, but, like, who is anyone else putting up? Like, once Shannon is gone, the threat of James is much more neutralized. And then it's like, well, okay, so who's the biggest threat? Maybe James, maybe, oh, it's Ross. Of course it's Ross. He's at the center of everything. And especially somebody, people like Ari and Brandy, who I think are very able to recognize that. I don't think they currently plan on stabbing Ross in the back after Shannon leaves. But I think once Shannon leaves, if they have the opportunity to, they're going to look around and go, wow, we should take out Ross. He should be next.
Yeah. And I think he's falsely assuming that, oh, if I get rid of Shannon, probably people are still going to gun for Keisha Omarosa. That's still going to be the two nominees on the block. But I don't think he's understood that, hey, man, like, we were all in a final seven like 4 days ago, and already people are talking about putting Shannon up. How long? And you arguably yourself said that you were the bottom man on that totem pole when that alliance of seven existed. So what's going to make people, like, you were seventh. Now you've won a competition. Now you're taking out arguably the biggest threat. Why wouldn't you become the biggest threat by proxy or as a result? Like, hypothetically speaking, you have won the second most competitions in this game now. So, and, like, based on the conversations he's having, I'm surprised he hasn't noticed how much stock and value people are putting into the physical comps. Because a lot of people were talking to him last night. Mark brought this up. James brought this up. Even Ari brought this up, where the three of them at one point in time mentioned that if it's Keisha and Omarosa on the block, I want Keisha to go, because I think Keisha is more physically capable and Omarosa has shown to be weak, and we can get rid of her at any time. But Keisha is the one that might win the next comp, and then who's she going to go after? So I think he needs to understand that people are putting a lot of stock in comps, this crop of people he's with. So if you're going to do that, then calculate. There's been three comps. Shannon won two. Everyone wants her out. Then I've won one. Like, whoever wins veto next, that's one. I'm equal with them. James wins veto. Me and James have won the most comps. So there are different ways to calculate this. There are different ways to look at this. But either which route you take, whether it's comps, whether it's strategy, whether it's relationships, it's all going to come back to, as of this moment, Ross is the pack leader. Ross is number one on the power ranking if Shannon goes. So that's not good for him, because they will suss it out and he will be on people's mouths sooner rather than later, unless Meta wins HOH, which I think that's the one route. If Meta wins HOH, he's fine because he can breathe for 3 days and, like, repair things while Meta just goes after James. And if Shannon's still there, Shannon. But that's like one out of nine people. So that's not good for him.
Yes. So final thing of the day, Brandy had another conversation with Ross, saying, you know what, like, in the beginning of the game, when you offered me a final two, you still up for that? Cause I'd be up for that. You're up for it. And Ross was like, yeah, I'm down. I haven't said that to anyone else. Like, well, let's do this final two. I don't believe, for a second that Brandy will take, Ross to the end, but Ross might be willing to take Brandy to the end.
Yeah, no, I think Ross would take Brandy. I think Brandy has made it very clear that she's with Ari. Like, those two are inseparable. And it was a funny conversation because Ross kind of looked back and was like, oh, you want that? You want it, right? You still want it? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. we're doing it. Okay, it's fine. So, yeah, no, I think Brandy is no intention of honoring that final two. I think she just kind of wanted to see what Ross would respond. And Ross responded kind of, you know, he agreed, but I don't think he sold it that well. But it's fine. It'll be okay. Actually, I wanted to talk about a little bit, Taryn, before we start wrapping up, Omarosa and her returning into the house. So, you know, Ross is the Varys. Omarosa is freaking Littlefinger. I was baffled. So Omarosa comes back in, and like as you hinted at the top of the show, there was a lot of animosity the night before. There was a lot of things coming out. You know, Omarosa felt cheated. Omarosa felt that maybe something racial was involved with this decision. She was not happy. She was calling out Shannon in their one-on-one, completely like shaking her up. And then she goes to the hospital. She comes back. Ross calls it happy juice. I call it medication. One or the other, you know, pick yours. But she comes back in and she is a different Omarosa. She's a completely different Omarosa. It's like she, oh, like, and that's the beauty of having Omarosa on this season, where I still, for the life of me, cannot figure out if she has calculated all this and was like, if I come back in, I need to do this, or it's the medication talking, or it is perspective talking. I can't tell. I'm like, that's why she's Littlefinger to me. I'm like, you seem like you're being sincere, but you could be playing everybody. But she was able to neutralize everything within a span of 12 hours. The fact that she collapsed during this competition to some sort of asthma attack is what I've understood. And she was able to come back and talk about it, talk about how she doesn't typically have her inhaler with her when she's out and about doing her regular days. So like, what, she didn't expect to need it, but like when she's doing competitions or like physical things, she'll need it. So people immediately discount her as a physical threat immediately after this happened. The fact that she has only had to do one out of the three comps has been enough of a sample size for people to see her do this the first time and collapse to think she can't do this at all. Like, this is not her forte. So they've discounted her physically. And then she was playing games. She was playing some kind of telephone game in the kitchen with people. They're sitting in the backyard talking about nonsense, taking people's questions from around the globe through their mic packs. And she was participating. She was playing along, laughing. She had a couple subtle conversations here and there, talking about her whole health issue with Ari, with Ross. And people, like, Ross is someone who's like worried about that. He's like, I still can't tell what she's thinking, which is the right way to do. But I think she's been effectively able to neutralize enough people to the point where she almost even kind of looks like the third option this week to a degree, because Shannon has now become like target numero uno. They want the veto used. And then you've kind of got Keisha now in the forefront, because some people don't still believe Keisha, just kind of don't see where she's coming from, don't like the cut of her jib a little bit. They think she's got physical acumen over Omarosa at the very least. So I'm just fascinated, Taryn. I'm fascinated by how she was able to turn this around. And I can't tell if it literally is happy juice or it is a calculated play. So I'm baffled.
Yeah, as it stands, Ross and Brandy were both saying that we'd prefer Omarosa to leave. But Ari was saying, nah, I feel like Keisha is the more dangerous player. I think maybe we need to take Keisha out over Omarosa. And I will say, if the veto is not used and Keisha and Omarosa stay up on the block, they were put up on the block yesterday. If they stay on the block and Keisha leaves before Omarosa, that's very impressive that yeah. Omarosa, in the course of like 2 days, was able to completely turn it around and get the target off her back. You know, to work on that kind of deadline is impressive work. Assuming it was calculated, because she was helped out a lot by the fact that she had what was assumedly in a genuine asthma attack and then came back in with medication. Like, we don't know how much of that was calculated. And the asthma attack was a huge part of it. If she faked it, then oh my, that would be amazing. But I doubt they would stay in the hospital that long if she did.
Yeah. No, if she had faked it, this is like Omarosa's funeral levels of play. Incredible. You're coming back from the dead. But no, I don't think she really faked it. I do think that kind of being out of the house, because, like, for example, Christmas goes out of the house and just is dazed. She's gone. Like, she votes for Cody to stay. She comes back. She's made a promise. Like, we thought she was going to do something with that. She really didn't. So it's very interesting to see, because like last year when Christmas went out, a lot of people were like, this is bull. Like, this shouldn't be a thing. She went out for too long. This is enough. But then she came back and it was kind of like, oh, she's a shadow of what she was like a week ago. Like, she's all right. At least she's fine. Like, she was not going to do anything. But now Omarosa comes back and like this happens. And if she does stay, people might be very outraged about that. And I do think it is going to be close to call, Taryn, because right now, as I see it, right? So let's say Vito's played. Everything stays the same. Keisha, Omarosa on the block. You've got James, who was saying he wants Keisha out. Mark, who was saying he wants Keisha out. And if those two they're kind of a duo at this point, somewhat, they'll probably be okay with that. And then Ari kind of wants Keisha out. So if Ari can convince Brandy, that's four. That's all you're going to need. But now they're a good duo, but like, it's going to be interesting to see if Brandy's going to be the one in the front controlling Ari, or Ari's going to be able to sway Brandy to do this, because I don't think Shannon's going to want to do that. I really don't see that happening, especially after their fallout. But if those two boys kind of want Keisha gone and, you know, Ari wants Keisha gone, then we could see it happen. And then if Omarosa is able to kind of milk this a little bit, a la Tyson dislocating his shoulder, a la John Pardee wearing a sling, and like is able to kind of lean on this a little bit and milk it a little bit, then I could see it happen. Like, it wouldn't be impossible for me. Yeah.
Well, we are in for an exciting Monday night eviction, I believe. And tonight we're probably going to get a lot of the fallout from the flip. So there's going to be some fun stuff on that episode as well. Make sure you check into our coverage of that episode as well as the Monday night coverage. We will be doing our LFC roundtables Tuesday nights, because there's an episode on Monday night. So make sure you tune in for that as well. This really could be, since it's a live veto and Shannon is potentially being backdoored, this could be very dramatic, because Shannon could be going from I'm totally safe to stabbed in the back and going home in the same hour, which that's like Judd levels of double eviction here. So some exciting stuff there. Although I don't count Shannon out yet. You know, I've compared her to Vanessa, and I think something that people forget is that Vanessa was quote unquote caught for the entire season and basically everybody's backdoor plan for like half the season. So, you know, that's sort of where she's put herself. And I think I'd hope that she recognizes that, but she has great competition potential. And I think once she catches on to the fact that she has potentially been betrayed, she could be dangerous. Don't put Shannon in a corner.
Never impossible with Shannon.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Taryn, before we head out, what was your pet's name and what was the street you grew up on? Because that was a conversation that came up yesterday.
It was a conversation. I was like, is that information that celebrities want to reveal? Is there the street that they grew up on? I guess maybe it's public.
They must have moved at this point.
I mean, I would hope so, but still. Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, thank you, Priya, for joining me on this update. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's been happening today on the feeds. And we'll have an update as to whether or not we think this Shannon plan is going to happen and what will happen with Omarosa and everything else. So lots and lots of fun stuff headed your way. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes to Reality TV or Hap-Ups or the Big Brother feed or all the other feeds. The Taryn Show. It's just trust me. It's totally what you are interested in.
Do it.
Yes. And again, I think that's it. I think that's all we got. So check me out on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Puya is at Puyaism. And Puya, great on Twitter. So make sure you follow Puya.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. So nice to meet you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Adios.